You can turn around, say hi to somebody, and take a seat. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. You know what I mean? I have to look out and go to myself, I'm thankful for all of you that are here tonight. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. PK and I are up. I know God always gives her something to say. And so tonight, if she had something on her heart, I was going to let her share that. And then if I needed her in a couple minutes, I would call you back. Mm. Or you can stay.
No, I'll stay.
All right. So.
Ooh, it's kind of ringy. Yeah. Check, check, check.
There you go.
You want me to do a cheer? 1, 2, 3, 4. What do you think those cleats are for? To stomp them. Okay, that's an 80s cheer. Stomp them. Stomp the devil. Just comes out. Okay.
Well, she got her hand on her hip then at that time, too.
Things were different in the 80s. Anyway, I do have something that I want to share. And I heard this, and it's just so good. I just think a lot of us feel like you were saying you were binding inadequacies, insecurities, mm-hmm. and all of the whatever, you know, the stigmas that we have about ourselves or just being used of the Lord. I just want to encourage you, like all of us, it's just not us standing up here. Our job, what's the purpose of the church? For the equipping of the saints for ministry. Because all of y'all are called. Man, woman, child, it doesn't matter. We have a job to do. It's not just in here. We come in here to get encouraged, to learn, to be equipped so that we can go out into our world, because you can reach people I can't reach. And there needs to be a boldness in that. And the enemy has tried to come and stop that in a lot of y'all's lives.
Well, in the life actually of this church, mm-hmm. he's pushing hard, but we have a big God, so
we'll push back. We'll stomp him.
That's right.
And we'll stomp him. Okay, so
2, 3.
I know you don't want to see me do that ever again, but that's okay.
I like it. I think it's good.
Okay, what I want to say, and Paul, I just feel to tell you this. You, brother, too. The enemy has tried to stop you. And I know a little bit of your story, but I just feel led right now to encourage you. Just not that you're not pursuing the Lord, but just press in. All of us need to press in, because in these times, it's, you know what, 99 and a half won't do. And just one service, or even in, you know, at the beginning of the month, just 2 services a week. That's just, it's cute. Church is over. I remember in 2020, the Lord particularly told me that. I was getting ready, and all of, you know, it's almost the 4-year anniversary of when all of that, you know, 2 weeks to whatever, what the curve. Anyway, I just remember looking in the mirror. I was getting ready for church, and I felt the Lord say, cute church is over. And I know what he meant by that. You know, it can't be about that anymore. It can't be about that. This is wartime. You know, what's always been wartime, but now more than ever. And I don't say that to encourage you. I just, y'all know, and I don't try to just keep, you know, talking about the Avengers, but I love those. I like those movies a lot, because it's, you know, the good guys versus the bad guys, and they all come together, and they use their particular giftings to, you know, fight the enemy for people. What's it about? Not to build our names. It's not to build our names. It's not to build anybody else's name. It's to lift up the name of Jesus. And I don't care what anybody says to try to stop us or what the enemy tries to do. As long as I'm breathing, I'm going to go out of this world kicking and screaming.
You got cleats?
I am. I'm saying I'm running, and that dash, that's me running.
Ronnie's like, yeah.
You know, the 1966 to whenever Jesus takes me home or I go in the rapture, that dash is what it needs to be. It needs to be a dash. We need to do and fight. And, yeah, we have life, and there are things that we do, but your number one priority is getting with the Father. Listening to him, because let me tell you, and I was just talking to one of my children the other day, that there are so many voices in this world. With social media, everybody has a voice. Everybody has a platform. Everybody.
Yep.
I mean, you can find anything about any subject, anytime, any place, anywhere at the click of a thumb, at the click of your finger. We gotta unplug that. We gotta unplug that. Whose voice are you listening to? Because let me tell you, the enemy works the same today as he did back in the garden. Here's what he does. He's not some big, bad, ugly whatever they've painted him out to be. Adam and Eve were not scared of him. But they didn't know the word of God. She didn't know the word of God because she said, well, God said, if we eat it or touch it. God didn't say don't touch it. So she wasn't fully persuaded. And I'm not here to bash Eve, but I'm saying we need to learn from that. The enemy said, did God say? Did God say? Because I'll tell you, I'm just listening.
That's why I had
you all
here.
Are like hardcore. You know what I mean? You're here on a Wednesday night. So you know the Lord. You love the Lord. So the enemy is not, he knows what pushes your buttons. He knows who he can use to get to you. So he's not going to say, Melinda, go rob a bank. Like, is that going to even work? That's not even a temptation. But he could use, he will. He
but
will
Jack
use,
would.
Well, but I'm not talking about Jack.
Sorry.
I'm just saying the enemy will use the word.
Yep.
To twist. What did he do to Jesus? He came to Jesus. If he's going to come to Jesus
yep.
with the word, the enemy's a wicked twister. That's what he is. He twists the word. He knows how to do it. He's subtle. But he is a deceiver. And what's the problem with deceiving or being deceived? You don't know. You're deceived because you're deceived. Does that make sense? So what I'm saying is the Bible says in the last days, if it would be even the very elect would be deceived. So that's not fun. But I'm here to encourage you. You've got to know, what did God say to you? What did he say to you? What does that word say to you? If you have a question about the word, go to someone you trust. Someone who has fruit in their life. Someone who walks the walk, talks the talk. I'm not saying they have to be perfect, but I am saying you need to look at their life.
There's something in their engine.
Is there something in the, do you admire that person and their spiritual walk? But even then, you need to know what the Lord is saying to you. We can't be like, I don't even, why does this come to me? What's a secondhand lion? We can't be secondhand lions. I don't even know what that means. I don't know.
There was a movie. Secondhand.
But lions. We can't get our word secondhand. You know, sometimes we come to church and I just want a word from the Lord. I want a touch from the Lord. And man, is he ready to do that. But he will do that in your home, in your easy chair. And that's usually where it's going to happen. Most of the words are pretty much 99% of the time. When the Lord speaks to me, it's in my prayer time with him every day. And again, I'm not trying to encourage you, and I am trying to encourage you.
Not trying to discourage you.
What's Willy Wonka say? Scratch that, reverse it. I'm trying to encourage you. You need to know what the word says for you. God will quicken that to you. The Holy Spirit will quicken that to you. And that's another thing. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So back to you, Johnny.
Thanks, Ed. I appreciate it. Well, yeah. And she's so very right, because, you know, we've done church for a long time, and I can't say we've always done it right. It was our heart to do it right. But there are times that, you know, if you could rewind it and redo it, you would. And you just have to take that to the cross and move forward, because you know, you can't go back, and you just got to go forward. So doing that, you know, I get up anywhere between 5 and 5:30 every day. Not that that's important for you, but that's when I do my devotion and stuff. And around, you know, a certain time, I head to the barn, and then that's usually when I work out. Now that it's warmer, I've actually worked out twice this week. So thank you, Jesus. Has nothing to do with the service tonight, but I'm very thankful for that because I'm not froze. So, but this morning, I had something in particular that hit me, a story in the Bible that I have read dozens and dozens or hundreds of times. Maybe you have too. You know, when I tell you the story, you know it. I was hoping I could even get people to act it out. I mean, it's Wednesday night, but I don't know if I have anybody that is like, I want to act it out or not. But I wanted to prove a point. I might be able to do it without having actors, because I would, you know, I would probably not ask for volunteers. I would just pick them, and I don't know how that would go. Anyway, we all know the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Okay, and I've read that story. You've read that story. We've seen it. We've seen it in different movies. We've seen it all. And so PK came in this morning, and we were talking, and I said, I just saw something. It struck me like it is what the church, or even myself, has fought with all the time. And then we're going to have some time to pray and believe God and watch him heal. Now, if you remember Sunday, I said this, healing is God's idea. It's not my idea. I'm not trying to convince God. He's trying to convince me. That very statement, I really do believe that God wants what he is trying to show us. It is simple, and we complicate it. We put everything in it that, well, we didn't cross this T, or we didn't do this, or we didn't do that, or whatever. I get that. I have done the same thing. What I'm saying is, let's let God. I mean, there are things that I have seen God do that I was not comfortable with. I'd just be flat out honest, not comfortable with. Kim and I went to Brownsville several times. There's things that happened there that I was not comfortable with. Because in the Assemblies of God, and it was an AG church where that revival took off, and that was a 5-year revival. We went there 4 or 5 times. And, you know, I was just like, nobody had explained God to me that way, or I would see somebody manifest in a way that was uncomfortable for me. And then but if I went back in ministry, I saw God doing that in the ministry that I had, that he had given me different times. And I'd tap into that somehow. And I was trying to figure out, okay, because I could feel his glory. I could feel his power. I can't share. I mean, the glory is him, but I mean, his presence. Maybe that's a better word. His presence. I felt his presence. I saw things that were amazing. I did things in him that were amazing. That the only way I could have done that is because God. I read people's mail, people I didn't even know, told them their name, told them all kind of, there's no way I would have known that. Watch God heal people. Watch God do things. I had a kid, Jeremy, you like youth because you and your wife are involved in all that, and your daughter's right there. So, looky there, and there's my new connection man right there. So this kid came running down the aisle. I was on staff at a church, and God was doing things in that church. It was one of the most amazing services I've ever had. And I've told you some of the story, but just to cut to the chase, everybody was in black and white, but three people. Three people were in living color. They were all in color when the service started, but when I went and sat, the pastor made us always sit on the platform. Hated that. Well, not a fan, because you can't do anything. If you have to scratch your nose more than once, they think you're picking it. You know, I mean, whatever. I mean, it's just you're up, everybody's watching you. If you've had, like, there have been times I was at the emergency room all night with families or whatever, and church was the next day, and I'm up on the platform, and I am exhausted. Nobody in the congregation knows that. But I'm like, you're like, oh, my gosh. If you get anybody that was, you know, you're just like, oh. You don't want to nod off when you're sitting up there. Because then everybody makes fun of you. But anyway, so the Lord told me specifically, I just heard him say it to me. He just said, I have a word for these people. And there were three people in color, and I knew he meant the people in color. The rest were in black and white. The rest looked like they were an Andy Griffith episode. That's what it looked like. And then everybody came back to color, and I was rubbing my eyes, and Kim was looking at me because she was sitting out there. And so the service went on. But anyway, this kid came running down, And all I said to the kid was, I'll pray for you in a minute. And I pointed at him like that. That kid shot back about 6 feet in the air, landed on the ground on his back. And I'm like, I killed him. I don't know what I did other than point to him. And he was like gone, like Mike Tyson out, you know. And he was just out in the spirit. I'm like, how did that happen? People were falling everywhere. If I touched anybody, they went. The usher came and said, Pastor PB, let me help you. He grabbed me and he went over. And it was just like boom, boom, boom. And the one guy goes, what are you doing? I just said, I don't know. I'm asking God for those times again. I believe he wants those. Not because, you know, we are trying to be, we're body, soul, and spirit. You know, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And what we do as humans is we tend to look at things in our mind and we make our judgment on what is good. If you go to a restaurant, you know, and you see food, if you see the food looks good, you like that before you eat it. Isn't it true that you eat your food before you eat it? You see it? Kind of, if it looks nasty, you ain't eating that. You know what I mean? We've had some food like that. When we were at camp at Big Prairie, my dad made some food. I hope you're watching, Dad. And he wanted us to eat it. It was nasty. It looked nasty. I'm like, I'm not eating that. So, you know, but we have to settle back into what PK is saying. What is God saying? What does God say? See, because your normal might not be God's normal. What if? I was to finish the story, I was at Brownsville, and there was people were waiting outside in chairs for hours to go inside. And we, you know, just, that's kind of cool to see hunger like that. Some people are there because they're hungry for God. Other people are there because it's a show, they think. You have to get past that. Because I'm just saying, when God moves in this place, they're going to be people, and you're going to be, I don't know if that was, you let me as your pastor call that. Don't worry about it. If it's wrong, we'll call it. If I miss it, she'll catch it. You know, so between the two of us, we got it. And then you're the cream of the crop that are here, and I love you. So you'll know, your spirit will raise witness with it, or you'll be like, something's off, something's wrong, you know, or whatever. But some of that, sometimes, you just have to rest. I get it. So anyway, we were in that service, and we were going to go. I was looking at this person, and they were just shaking. So they were sitting down. They were shaking violently, like almost like epileptic. I was not comfortable with that. I didn't like it. And I couldn't get my eyes off that person. I wanted to, but I kept like, I'm not seeing it. So, you know, not to that level. And so after that service, we went up, and there was a girl that was on the praise team, and she was going to pray for Kim, and she was just like, and they were holding her. And she was doing that. Not a fan. I wasn't. I turned around to tell my wife how I wasn't a fan. And she was coming to pray for my wife, and my wife was.
But can you, explain to them what that means?
Yeah. It's just but I hadn't been exposed to that at that level. And basically, because you're human, and your body can, just like a weightlifter can take so much weight. He's going to, you know, I've been over there where they're like, yeah, and you lift it off, and they're, and they're going to, poof. Well, if there's a point, that ain't happening, depending on what it is, and they're, ooh. Your body can only take so much. And what happens in some of those situations, but nobody had ever explained it to me, that the glory was happening so thick on that person and was happening so thick, her body just wasn't wasn't holding it. It was just, she wasn't in pain. She was not in pain at all, because I was asking her, because when she's on the ground, are you hurting? No. Didn't mean I was any more comfortable with it, but she was fine. Okay. All I'm saying is, we have to be ready and be okay when God comes. I mean, he's here now. So please don't misunderstand. He's in all of us. His presence is here now. But what he wants me to share is this. This is what I heard this morning. Okay. I look in the Bible, and then let me just read it to you, okay? And then PK can help me with this. Now, a woman having a flow of blood. This is Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 43. For 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians, could not be healed by any, came from behind, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared to him, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I've read that a bunch. And this is what I was showed this morning. So bear with me, okay? So think about this. How many have read that story? You've heard it before. Everybody? Okay. Have you done what I've done? I have been everybody in that story. Have you ever put yourself in that story? This is what I want you to do tonight. I want you to think. Now, if we were talking about faith, she declared beforehand, "If I can touch his garment, I'll be made whole." That's what she already says what her faith, this is where her faith is at. She declares out of her mouth, faith is activated by speaking. She said, "If I can get to his garment." Now, she's unclean. She's not supposed to be there. She could be killed because she's there. There is all these things, but she is putting God, because she's tied a rope, a knot in a rope, and she has no more knots to tie. She's hanging on. This is her last knot. She's given all she had. I have put myself in that, in her place. Now, I'm a dude. I'm not a girl. But I mean, the thought of, if I had it, I have a need, and I'm just like, I'm frustrated. I'm at the end of my rope. God, if I can do that. Have you ever been there? You could see yourself saying, "I'm the woman. I am her. I am, you know, the same, maybe not the same situation, or I'm the guy, but I have a situation. I need Jesus. Everything else isn't working. So I put myself there. I put myself in the role of the disciples. So, you know, that would be probably easy for Scott and John. You know, if they were like, "Hey, PB, we're going out here." Not that there's a throng of people that are thronging me. You know, maybe that's a crowd of people thronging me, not a throng of people crowding me. You know what I mean. But they would be just saying, you know, "Ooh, boom, boom," you know, whatever. Remember when Carmen was here? When Carmen came in, you know, we assigned security to him. We assigned Roy, because Roy's a black belt in karate. So, "Hey, Carmen, we got you." And he was like, "That is cool, man." And, you know, I got to walk in with Carmen. And I looked at Mouse face, and she's like, "Dad, you are on cloud 9. Because I'm like, "That's right." I picked him up in my Hummer. I don't have the Hummer anymore, but I picked him up in my Hummer, and I had on his station on Pandora, the Carmen station. He goes, "Man, turn that off." Said, "I hear myself all the time." I'm like, okay. But anyways, I mean, just if you can think of the Beatles, or think of that where people were just like, "Oh, oh my gosh." We've put ourselves in that place. We've had people that come to church and are just kind of like what PK said, "I need a word from the Lord. You better give me a word from the Lord today." They left the church because I wouldn't give them a word every time they walked in the door. That's not my job. My job is to equip, yes. But your relationship with God is based on you. It is not based on whether you ask the Lord what he wants me to do about this? Well, I can ask, but it's got to be you. Sometimes I'll ask and he'll tell me, "This is what he told me." And they're like, "I don't like that." Take it up with the teacher. You still got the homework. I didn't do it. So I put myself in the disciples' place where, you know, if I've, you know, I've been at different things with Pastor Gary and you know, and they have, you know, he's got a national ministry now. There have been times I've preached there before and stuff and, you know, but been with him and he said, hey, come up here. You know, and the ushers came and they moved me like up here. And then, another usher said, no, Pastor wants him up. So, you know, I moved up front. And then Pastor said, no, come up here and sit by me. Dorinda's not here tonight. Just come up here and sit by me. I was like, oh, man, that's awesome. Then I had to get a hold of myself. Wait a minute. This is my friend. This is Gary. He puts his pants on just like I do, one leg at a time. And he's not asking for special treatment or favorites. He's just like, I just wanted you to come up here and sit. That's all that's going through his mind. It's my mind that's going, whoa! Also, part of my mind, and if we're honest, that's right. You see, Pastor called me up front. I'm going to sit with the man. He's not thinking that. My stinking thinking's doing that. Or that's what the enemy's shooting in there. So, you know, I can picture myself as a disciple. And Jesus saying, who touched me? Who touched you? Everybody's touching you. Come on. So I can picture myself doing that. I can picture myself being one of the people just trying to get to him. Have you ever felt like you just can't get to him? You want to get to him, but stuff is stopping you. Your mindset or whatever. I want to do that, but I'm not physically able. And you're believing for this and this and that and this and whatever. I can picture myself just being a spectator. There had to be spectators there that are just like, yeah, I see him. No big deal. They don't know. They're just checking him out. They hear about him, but they're not sure about it. Kind of like me in Brownsville. Maybe they like it, but I don't like it. Ooh. Man, he touches people, and if they're dead, they come back to life. I don't know if I like that. Well, if you love the person, you probably like it a lot. So I picture myself like that. I've pictured myself, because they didn't crucify Jesus because they loved him, as a, and I'm just saying, you know, there's people like, oh, he's doing it different. I don't know if I like that. Maybe a religious leader or something. We have our own preset ideas. I don't know how God, I don't know. He's always done it this way before. What if he does it different? See, what we do as people, Jesus, he healed all kinds of different ways. I mean, think about it. But we'll make a whole doctrine out of, I have a moist mud ministry that if you're having eye trouble, I can put it in your eyes. Of course, I've got to spit in it first. That's how it gets activated. And put it in your eyes, and then you can see. Well, that's not always going to work unless God told you to do that. But, you know, Jesus did something like that. And there's so many different things that he did. Roll the stone away. He's been dead for 4 days. He's going to smell. Okay, roll it away. It didn't faze him. Can you picture this woman? And can you picture the disciples? Can you picture? I'll tell you, this is what came to me. This was the knowledge that I'm just going to share it with you. I pictured myself as everybody in that, except me having the robe on. And I said, Lord, I can't. That's you. I can't. And he said, listen to me. That's the trouble with the church today. We can relate to everybody but the king. Are we not supposed to do greater things than him? Are we not supposed to be imitators of Christ? When people, sometimes they would tell me, I worked at Honda for 7 years to kind of do what I do now. When I worked at Pondera, this little Jesus. Hey, Jesus, come over here. But, you know, when they were really in trouble, that's who they called. They would call and they'd be crying. I know I've given you a hard time, but I know that if you pray, God hears you. You know, and I could look at them and I could say, he does hear me. But yet, when I read that this morning, I thought, I'm not saying I'd never pictured myself that, but for the most part, I forget that if we are going to be lights in a dark world, there's more of these out there at the guest kiosk if you need them. We got to be like Jesus. We have to see ourselves praying for people. We have to see ourselves being used of the Holy Spirit, healing people, doing the work of the kingdom. And that's been our block. And when I saw that this morning, I was like, it was so easy for me to picture myself going, if I can just do this, if I could just, and be the woman or the man, whatever the situation, man in my situation, I could picture myself being a disciple. Okay, Jesus, whatever you say. Yep, yep, I'll get him. I'll keep him away from you. I can picture being the spectator, the ones that are like, I got to get to him. Okay, and they're just crazy frenzy. They have no backing. They have no depth to their... Now, and you say, well, how can you say that? Because everybody's touching him, but not everybody's getting healed. There, everybody's touching him. But only one person had figured out how to tap into the kingdom. And to put myself in that position to say, okay, what if Jesus is saying to a Jeremy, to a Braden, to Cadence, I want you to be me?
Well, I mean, not like, oh, I'm Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
But before he went to heaven, he did commission us. He said, lay hands on the sick. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons.
Yep.
He said it. We're not making it up.
Right.
He said to do it. And he said, greater things will you do. Are we saying because you don't... People are going to hear what they want to hear. That's just the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to hear what they want to hear. But we're not saying, oh, we're Jesus. But the Bible says that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in us if we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. And also in the New Testament, it says, and I believe it's Philemon, it says that the communication of your faith will become effectual when you acknowledge what is in you through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we get cocky and prideful about that? No, but we have a world. You know what? And as you were speaking, this is what the Lord said to me, and I'm like trying to process it. How do you want me to say it? Here's what I heard him say to me about himself to ask you. So this would be the Lord speaking. That's not me saying, hey. It's the Lord saying, do you know how much I love you? So God is asking you that question. Have you ever tried to process that? Do you know how much he's your heavenly Father, how much he loves you? Could you imagine sending your son to die for like a Charles Manson to take his place? No way. Not me. I can't even imagine that, where he had to turn his face away, yet we look and everything that Jesus did on the cross, we go, I want some of it, but I don't want all of it. And that is not what he died to give you. He died to give you, yes, salvation, eternal life, healing. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But and the griefs and sorrows, that means the sicknesses. He died for your healing. He died for your salvation. God loves you. If we would understand the love of a father, you know, God said, if we being just, you know, natural parents know how to give good gifts, how much more does he know? Yet we connect him to killing people and putting disease on people.
To teach us a lesson.
And that, did Jesus ever do that? Let's look at what Jesus didn't do. Did he ever turn anybody down and go, in the movie Chosen, he, you know, says to his disciple, nope, not going to heal you because whatever. And that's where we're like, we're done. Because Jesus never, he said, I only do what I see my Father doing, and I only say what I hear him say. And I know, I get it, guys. We've had a baby, a stillborn baby. I get it, but I can't run that experience through this word. I can't let that experience be my God. And it hurt. You know what it's like to lose a son? That's why I'm like, I know what it's like to lose a son, let alone what God did to give his son, his only son for us. And it might sound like I'm angry. I'm angry at the enemy because he sold us a lie. And this, I'll share this story because I feel too. Sam, our youngest son, had a lot of sickness when he was little. He had, they called it reactive airway disease because he was too little. And back then they didn't call it asthma, but that's what it was. And they did an allergy test on him. And he was allergic to most of the things that they said, you know, he was highly allergic. He had, you know, he would have these things where he couldn't breathe. And pastors told you the story where, you know, he thought he was going to die. We thought he was going to die. But I was holding Maddie, and Maddie had been born with a cleft palate. You know, can I understand all that? No, but I know my father is a good father. But I was sitting there, and I was scared because of everything we'd walked through with Sam, and now I'm holding Maddie, and I was sitting in a rocking chair with the two of them, and these are the thoughts that I was thinking. Well, the Lord, God's going to get glory. I thought, just honestly, for the longest time, I thought that Sam was just going to die. I mean, I just was scared that he was going to die. I already lost one son. It just was a fear that was there that I had never dealt with. So I was thinking, well, if Sam, so in that particular time, it was like, well, if Sam dies, and the Lord came, he said this to me. He said, I already sent my son to pay that price. Because I was thinking, well, so many people will get saved. So I was trying to reconcile, if Sam dies, if I lose one of my children, well, at least, you know, maybe more people will come to Christ. And he stopped me. The Lord stopped me in the middle of that. And you can say what you want, but I know when he speaks and I know what he did and what he said to me. I already sent my son. I already sent my son to die for your son. So that settled it right there. He gave me a scripture that my children, that's where I got Psalm 92, 12 through 15. That's where that all came from. That my children, they will flourish. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. And they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. He gave me that. That was a divine moment. So when I know if we all went through here and we had like, yeah, I had my dad passed away, and he loved God and served God more than he was like our hero.
Yeah.
But he passed away. But I'm not going, well, God killed him. But did it hurt? Yeah, it hurts. And am I trying to bash and condemn? And I don't want anybody to feel condemnation. But Jesus, he interrupted funerals. He raised him from the dead, and he told us to raise the dead. Are we supposed to go ... Okay, but what if you're teaching them a lesson today, God? Ooh, am I supposed to go pray for this person? Because what? Like, nope, we complicate it. You know what? We lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I didn't write it. Do I sound mean and mad? I hate the enemy. Let me just say that. And I hate everything that he's done to twist and turn it. And we are to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Do you want to see your children suffering? Would you break your child's leg and go, look, I had to teach you a lesson. That's child abuse. So rewinding, God says, do you know how much I love you? Do you know how much I love you? So we need to ponder that and think about that. He loves you with an everlasting love. Nothing you could do could make him love you more or less. He loves you. And he has given us gifts. And if we're not supposed to heal the sick, why is there, you know, the gift of healing? Why is there the gift of miracles? Let's just think about it. And I'm not trying to just get stuck on one subject, but I am saying with the way that the world is, we're to go out and be lights, salt and light, and we have purposes. And the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy because he hates us and he wants to do that. The Bible says if he had known what would happen when Jesus died on the cross, he would have never messed with it. So, I'm sorry, I get a little worked up. I'm just saying, you got to know your Father loves you. If you ask for bread, is he going to give you a stone? If you ask for a fish, is he going to give you a scorpion? No. He's a good Father, and he loves you. And it's time that we just, the scales just fall from our eyes and all of this twisty-turny whatever, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
See, this is, you know, think about, believe with your, you know, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, do not doubt. So everything happens in the kingdom. The woman in the story I read, she confessed with her mouth, she believed, if I can just touch his garment, she didn't doubt. Healing went out from him. Go through, look at all that. Peter, throw your net out. We fished all night. But if you say, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And they catch the biggest haul of their life.
Right.
There's just so much that we still, you know, we're tapping into that we have to do. I'm going to do something that's different, but I feel to do it. And so I want us, you don't have to participate in this if you don't want to. Is that any part of my mic?
I don't know.
No, I don't. I don't think so, because I already messed up one of them. All right. Yeah, I lost the thing Ron had to put back on there. We haven't done it for a long time. We're going to do it tonight. Because this is what the Lord just spoke to me and said, they need to exercise their faith. We're going to do a prayer tunnel. Have you ever done that? Some of you have. This is what we're going to do. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to make two lines. Okay, and we're going to face each other. And so what's going to happen, we're going to make it up here. And so we'll start over here. So there'll be two lines. You can either, if you're married, you can be across from your spouse or beside your spouse. Or it's not where you're standing. I'm just saying, if you're like, oh, I don't know where to stand, I'm just giving you ideas, okay? But so then the first person, whichever side decides to go first, If it was me and there was a lady, I'd let the lady go first. Just saying, that's just me. But anyway, then she's going to turn and she is going to walk down the center of everybody, okay? And when she gets about halfway, the other guy or the person on the other side is going to walk down. Here's my instruction. You don't have to do anything except believe. Okay? We are going to confess now. And all I want you to do, if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you have prayer language, you get to use it. I just, and because this is what the Bible says. How many knows what the Bible says is always right? The Word says this. When you pray in the Spirit, you pray perfectly. You don't even have to know everything like, you know, I don't even know. Now, before I do this, if you want the baptism in the Holy Spirit and you've never received it, we'll do that first, if that's something you want. But, again, this is all how the kingdom operates. Believe I receive when we pray. And then we just speak it out. That's it. You have to put work with your faith. I mean, faith without works is this. So you have to say the words God gives you in your mind. People ask me, well, what are they? I don't know. They're in your head. So you say them. Well, they don't sound English. Boy, we're on the right track. Because the enemy can't understand what you're saying. But if you don't, I mean, you still can go to heaven without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I'm just telling you, you're going to have a lot more harder battles of discouragement than if you had the Holy Spirit. Because he'll give you wisdom on how to get past it, how to fight it, how to avoid it, all of those kind of things. But this is what's going to happen. As the people come by, all we're going to do on both sides is pray in our prayer language. If you don't have a prayer language, I still want you up here. I just want, Father, in Jesus' name, you know what they need. I'm believing with you. I set my faith in agreement with the Word of God. Okay? That's all I want. Agree with the Word of God. People don't have to be perfect. Are you perfect? I'm not. Well, I don't think they should. This isn't about what you think. This is about them receiving from God. Okay? So then once that person goes and they're halfway down, when this person, the first person that came down, gets to the end, they just take their space. The other person takes their space. This line will continually move. If we move around this auditorium until everybody, once everybody's done, we're done. I'll close this out in prayer. Scott will be back there. If you can give tonight, we would really believe for great things. This church has got some things we have to take care of. So if you can help us, that'd be awesome. But that's how this is going to work, okay? Yes? Okay. So if you want to participate in this, come on up. This is Wednesday. Can you imagine doing this on Sunday with over 100 people or something? We'd be like, you can go across from me. Yep. We'll be at the end. You and I will be at the end because we'll come down last. And so, okay. So somebody line up over here. Come on this way. And again, not to make anybody feel uncomfortable, this is not, nobody's judging. This is a no judgment zone, okay? So if you just want to participate as far as looking, I'm cool with that. Everybody got it? I'm not mad at anybody, okay? Everybody? Yes?
Yes.
All right. Okay. PK, you be right there. And you're going to start it out, aren't you? Bless God, it doesn't matter. And then this is all she's going to do. She's going to come and just think of a wedding march. You're not going to walk through like this. You're just going to go at just a slow pace. If you don't want to lay hands on them, you do not have to. You can put your hand out. But if you want to put it on their shoulder. Now, normally, I'm careful about who lays hands on who. But I believe there's grace for tonight. And again, you guys are core people. I mean, you all are believers. And so I think we're okay. I don't have any check in my spirit to not. That'll just leave that up to you. If you feel like, I just want to do this, then do that. You guys that are sitting there, you just send prayers this way. And then, Gary, you'll come. Yeah, she, then you, then you. Yeah, and then you can do Melinda, then Jack, and Sheila, and Karen. I mean, and just come down this way, and we'll go. If you've never done this before, sometimes this gets really incredibly powerful. We've seen it before, so it's been awesome. Okay. Yes, ma'am.